The reading is Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We've been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised who are not only circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. And it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification.
Let's begin by prayer. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Lord, please help me to explain your word well, but please will you open the eyes of all of us to see the wonderful truths here and give us that determination to live by them. Amen. Well, today's talk I've called the one and only original road to God. A child was once asked, what is the Old Testament? And she replied, well, it's that bit of the Bible written by God before he became a Christian. This, if I may say, is a profoundly wrong answer, but it betrays the impression that many children are given, that somehow Christians live by the New Testament. When we were in Indonesia, I got talking with a strict Muslim family. In fact, so strict that I wasn't even allowed to shake hands with the ladies. I asked them why Muslims don't read the Gospels about Jesus when he's mentioned 95 times in the Quran. He's called the Savior. And the New Testament is called the Injil. It's the Word of God. He replied that they're taught that the Quran has superseded the Bible, taken its place. Now, we have a problem now in the West that there are many deep down who think that the New Testament has somehow superseded or replaced the old Jewish scriptures. Look at 331, if you've got your Bible open. The relationship between Judaism and Christianity has obviously been a tension. It's been a tension right since the beginning, as our passage discusses. You see, the Jewish Christians felt that Gentile Christians should obey the Jewish laws, as ordered in Scripture, in the Old Testament. And Paul's response here is that to think like this is to misunderstand the gospel. A gospel that's been unchanged since Abraham's time. You see, the key words for this morning, look down at verse 16. That's really my text. Those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all. Is that what you think? So far in Romans, Paul's been explaining the gospel. It's the gift of righteousness, being made right with God, for those who are committed to following Jesus, who accept his death on their behalf. He can never be ashamed of this news. He wants everybody to know about it, both Jews and Gentiles. And then in chapter 3, God's provided a solution that no one could provide for themselves. Salvation is a free gift given to those who love and follow God's Son, the Lord Jesus. They're justified. They're given the privilege of being considered completely forgiven. This idea has no parallel in any other religion. The word righteous is chalked up against our name, though we know we've been guilty of doing things wrong against God. Now, when Paul wrote this letter, he could have moved from chapter 3 straight on to chapter 5, where he talks about the wonderful implications of being right with God. But here he's sandwiched in between 3 and 5 this very important chapter. What shall we say about Abraham, our forefather? Now, you can imagine people saying, look, why bother with Abraham? That's history. Let's get on to chapter 5, living it. But we're going to see there's some very important lessons here. It seems complicated, but look at 3:22. The righteousness of God through faith in Christ for all who believe. All who are committed to Christ are given everything that's necessary for eternal life. Simple faith alone, because we love and follow the Lord Jesus. But someone says, this sounds so novel. It's so revolutionary. This is surely so different to the Old Testament. Isn't this a new path altogether? It seems so different to that well-trodden Jewish path. Now, if you visit Rome, or in fact many ancient cities, think of Colchester. You know why it's called Colchester? Old King Cole was a merry old soul. He was the first Christian king in England, and it's named after him. But you go there and you can still see some old Roman roads. Here we live on the Icknield Way. Actually, that's a pre-Roman road. Went right up from the Norfolk coast, Hunstanton, right down to Wiltshire. And where it went through civilized Letchworth or other areas, the Romans built it up. They made it. They put some gravel down and put stones down so that the carts wouldn't erode the road. But nowadays, these roads are nearly all covered up with tarmac and widened. But in some areas, you can still strip them down and see the original stone, Roman stone there. Now, Romans 3, salvation by faith in Jesus, that we've looked at last week, sounds so novel. And some might even say, well, this seems to be a new religion. The Jews had nothing like this, you might say. But what's Paul's answer? Paul, a Jew. Paul, is this a new doctrine? Some are saying it's enough to make Abraham turn in his grave. But Paul says no. Romans 4 is a vitally integrated part of the doctrine given in Romans. So if you've got your sheet there, look at the back page because you see where we're going. See, this passage teaches us that faith alone, that road is the original road. Yes? Abraham was the sort of prototype for all Judaism that came after him, or it should have been. You remember God called Abraham out of Ur to go to a promised land and there to found a great nation that would influence all the world. He trusted and obeyed God. That's faith. Well, as a result of his obedience, he was given a close friendship with God. Indeed, he's called the friend of God twice in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 27, I put it down there, and Isaiah 41. A remarkable man. And for a Jew, the greatest destiny they could have would be to rest in Abraham's bosom. That's paradise, to be with him. And Paul is saying, you've heard me rubbish all the human boasting about being good or being godly, or to be born into a Christian family or Jewish family. But look at 3:27. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. You see, no amount of good works, no amount of religion can bring us salvation. Only a personal faith, a trust and obedience of God that counts. In Muslim countries, you have thousands going to the mosque and all synchronously praying together in a very orderly way. You go to Catholic countries, hundreds going to Mass, all genuflecting at the right time. Or you can go to America and you see thousands in evangelical churches all turning up doing the same thing. Are they all saved? No, Paul says. Only a personal relationship with God through Christ saves people. Is this a new road? Is faith alone the way to peace with God? Verse 1, chapter 4. What did Abraham discover? The answer is in verse 3. It comes in the form of a question. What does Scripture say? We need to know our Bibles. Scripture, the Word of God, has always been God's authority. So let's dig in a little deeper and see what it teaches. If you flick back to Genesis 15:6, this key verse. Abraham believed God and he credited it to him as righteousness. He had righteous written against his name. He believed what God had said And as a result, he was considered righteous, credited with righteousness. The response of simple faith or trust is the old road. Trusting God underlies Judaism. And in response to Abraham's trust in the revealed God, God revealed himself to him, he was considered righteous and had righteous written against his name. And as we know, that road became overlaid with Jewish tarmac. But faith alone for salvation is the original road. This doctrine wasn't invented by Paul or by Martin Luther or Calvin or Zwingli, Melanchthon. No, this is scripture. It goes back to before Abraham. Faith alone is the original road. That's what we're taught here. Now, my next point, faith alone is the only road. You know, cities like to be associated with famous sons. Limerick really came to the fore, didn't they? Really pushed themselves when Terry Wogan died. Oh, he's a Limerick man. Charlotte in North Carolina. Yeah, that's Billy Graham's city. They've got the Billy Graham Parkway, massive road into the city. Great enthusiasm for him, because he came to personal faith in Jesus in Charlotte. He lives in a village outside. So they built a road in his honor. It's a major road. I suspect it's all a bit embarrassing for that humble guy. Jewish people felt the same about Abraham. They were his physical descendants, after all. So they proudly thought that they were on Abraham's highway. They were following Abraham, weren't they? But Paul strips this back and says, no, faith alone is the only road. Look at verse 2. You're not saved by works. Verse 5, it's very clear. We wicked people, selfish people who trust God, are justified. We have righteous written against our name. And then you notice how he illustrates this with David. David of all people. I mean, he'd sinned with Bathsheba in a very horrid public way. He'd had Uriah executed, killed, put in the front line so that he could have his way. Yet, Psalm 32 is very clear. It stresses that forgiveness is possible even for an adulterous murderer. It starts, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. See how it ends? Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. David understood it. It's the only way. Paul was never one for cheap grace. Once we've seen the cross, we know that our forgiveness certainly wasn't cheap. God hates a passive, lazy faith. Faith in Christ calls for a radically changed life, serving God, serving other people, for Christ's sake. But the tradition's grown up that somehow Abraham was such a good man that of course God smiled on him and accepted him because of the way he lived, his good deeds. No, God says. No, Paul says. It's apart from works. But now look on. It's also apart from rituals. Look at verses 9 to 12. Look, the mark of being a Jew is that the men were circumcised. And this ritual religion, began with Abraham. You see, they say. But Paul rubbishes this. He's saying that circumcision is only a sign of God's grace. Was Abraham accepted by God before he had the ritual, before he was circumcised? Oh, yes. I put in the notes Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. There's then a long gap. There's 14 years till Genesis 17 when Abraham was circumcised. This is very deliberate. Abraham was accepted by God when he was still a Gentile. It's interesting, isn't it? Purpose of this delay is very clear. Look at verse 11. Abraham was to be a model father of all people, of Jews and Gentiles alike, because God called him out of being a Gentile. Yet today, many people think and are even taught that because they've been through the religious rituals, because they've been baptized or confirmed, that they've been admitted into God's kingdom. No, rituals cannot save people. Only a personal faith can do it. So he's so far made two hammer blows at religion. Good works can't save us, and rituals can't save us. Look back at 2:28 and 29. There's a third little hammer blow here on 13 to 15. Abraham's acceptance didn't depend on knowing and living by the law. If you know your Galatians, it makes the same point, Galatians 3:17, very strongly. The law with its Ten Commandments were given 430 years after Abraham. So acceptance by God is not by works, it's not by ritual, and it's not by knowing and living by the law. You see, this shouts at nominal Christians today. There are many church people, Anglicans, Catholics, evangelicals, who've been baptized and possibly confirmed, who are devoted sons and daughters of the church, trying to obey its laws, but are not yet sons of Abraham, sharing the personal faith of trust and obedience in God. See, many religious people don't know the living reality of Christ in their lives, loving him, wanting to please him. Look at verse 16. Forgiveness depends on this personal faith. See, Abraham's descendants are those who share his faith, not who share his works, his rituals, or his rules. Can we all see that the original road of Abraham is clearly there? His call by God from Ur, at quite an advanced age. He's given the gift of Isaac against all the odds because of his trust in God. He's willing to sacrifice his one and only son because he knew that God could raise him from death. He trusted God. Whatever happens, God is his God. And if we've got that personal faith, then Abraham is our spiritual ancestor. It's the original road that God's given. It's the only road. Good works, rituals, knowing the law can't save us. So just as the original Icknield way came to Letchworth, so the original way to God must take us to Christ's cross. It's all there in the Old Testament, the picture of the sacrifices. It's needed. But my third point is the road of faith is an open road. It's a wonderful truth. Look at 16. People of all nationalities and backgrounds can be saved if we share Abraham's faith. He's the father of us all. Look at 18. Abraham became the father of many nations. 19. In spite of God's promise, when he didn't have any offspring, he kept trusting God. Verse 20, he didn't waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. It's said of William Tyndale, who translated the Bible into English and, as you know, faced a lot of opposition and eventually was burnt at the stake. He staggered not at the promise of God. That's the faith of Abraham. So for all of us, verse 22 there, it's so important. It was credited to him as righteousness. Do we all have that? Is it written there against us? Because we trust and obey the God of the Bible. Verse 23, it makes it very clear this forgiveness is an open road. Righteousness as a gift is available to all of us, whatever our education, popularity. Do you remember poor old Zacchaeus? He's a most unpopular little man. Jewish, by birth, but not by faith until Jesus called him. And do you remember what Jesus said to him, that wonderful thing, Luke 19:9? Today's salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Do you see? He's born a descendant of Abraham, but now he shares the faith of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. There's a lovely story of a missionary family many years ago in Kikuyu country in Kenya. The mother in the family was interviewing people for possible baptism. And there's an old sick lady came forward. It's in the open air outside their home. And he asked her, she asked this old lady, can you tell me something about Jesus? Oh, don't bother me with questions. I'm old and sick and tired. But just tell me one or two things that Jesus said. Oh, don't bother me. But can you tell me the name of Jesus' mother? And just at this time, the son of the missionary was doing he wasn't interested, he was just doing a cycle ride around the house. And he heard this question, tell me the name of his mother. And he, just like a young child would, about 5 years old, he snapped, Mary. And this old lady obviously heard this, and she said, Mary. And the mother said, look, my son's just told you that. Yeah, I wonder if you ought not to be baptized. You can't tell me anything. If you've got no living testimony about Jesus, you shouldn't be baptized. And at this point, this old sick lady suddenly became alive. Testimony, she said, flowing off her shawl. She says, testimony, I've got a testimony of Jesus coming into my life, how he brought me from a world of darkness, a world of self-indulgence, how he taught me to forsake heathenism, the heathenism of my old life, how he brought me to the cross, how he's forgiven me, he's accepted me. How can you say I haven't got a testimony? He's changed my life. Why can't I be baptized? You can just imagine the missionary there smiling and saying, oh, you can be baptized. That's the faith of Abraham. Romans 4:23, written not just for Abraham. It's for us. Look at 24 as well. It's there for us. Uneducated, educated, Ethiopian, Indonesian, Russian, Polish, even English people. God will credit us with righteousness. He'll chalk righteous against your name and my name if we align ourselves and live with and for the God who created us. and who sent his only son to be the final sacrifice for our sin. Look at 25. He, Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised for our justification. This verse is taken from the old Jewish scriptures, Isaiah 53, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sins of many. That's the Old Testament faith. It's our faith. So Romans 4, it teaches us that God's original road is an open road. Anyone can be a child of God. This is why we've been out talking in the high streets. This is why we've had people in our homes. We must be doing this, that they can be saved. In Galatians 3, it says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We've had righteousness written against us. And Jesus taught the same in John 8. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And so must we. It's the same faith. So faith in God and his son, his final sacrifice for our sin, is the original road. It's the only road, and it's an open road. Now we're going to see the privileges and implications of Abraham's road next week when we start looking at Romans 5. But wasn't that lovely about Adele, that verse from Jeremiah 29? You'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's what Abraham did. That's what we need to do. I will be found by you when we seek him with all our heart. Let's pray. Lord, please give each of us this simple faith of trust and obedience in your word that Abraham understood and went that road. Lord, please help every one of us here not just to grasp this, but to go on and to live it, putting Jesus at the center, passing on his message, obeying his command to go into all the world. Lord, help us to be people of faith because we've been credited with righteousness. Amen.